And I realized I got what I'd been proclaiming. I was under the shadow of the Almighty, under the wing of the great eagle. And I noticed emanating out from the wing. Now, not appliqued, not stuck on it, but oozing and coming out of the wing were great.
So, Robert, you have a great night's sleep, and you wake up, and you feel tired, you feel oppressed. It shouldn't be. Why?
Well, Sid, I was going to speak in a conference that weekend, and that's just what happens sometimes. You have this warfare. The enemy doesn't want you to do well. And so I thought, I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to quote Psalm 91 as a warfare act of faith. So I began, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no evil foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God."
You must have scared every demon in hell out.
Oh, that. I wasn't through yet. "In Him will I lean and rely."
Did you say it that strong?
Listen, I did it once and it was so good, I did it twice.
It must have been good. And all of a sudden, you're looking up and there's something strange about the ceiling. What was it?
Well, I was in a Hilton. It was a nice hotel. But when I looked up after that dual proclamation about the great eagle and being safe under the covering feathers of the Lord, there was an opening. It looked like an air conditioning duct, frankly. It wasn't that impressive. And I knew instinctively, if I jumped into that air conditioning duct, I could go into the heavenly realm in a way that I had not usually been able to do.
When you say jump, what do you mean?
I never left my bed, but I jumped.
Okay.
I just took off. And when I took off, I went through this demon region, and demons were saying, "Hey, you can't go through here. Who do you think you are?" And I just laughed at them because I knew they couldn't stop
me. You were moving into the heavens, is what you're saying.
At the speed of light, it was fast. It was fast. And then I landed in that heavenly place. Of course, I thought it would be real bright, but I thought, gosh, it's sort of dark, a little shadowy. Then I noticed I was under, I don't know how tall, 18, 20 feet, maybe more, but it was an eagle's wing. And I realized I got what I'd been proclaiming. I was under the shadow of the Almighty, under the wing of the great eagle. And I noticed emanating out from the wing. Now, not appliqued, not stuck on it, but oozing and coming out of the wing were grapefruit and softball size precious stones, and then big chunks of precious metals. I don't know what it was, gold, silver, platinum, but it was unbelievable what was coming out of that wing. And of course, I didn't understand that, and it didn't have anything to do with the revelation I got, but it showed me just the absolute prosperity and blessedness in every way imaginable in the heavenly realm.
What else did you see?
Well, the Lord began to reveal to me five wagons of blessing.
And now, were these wagons sort of like the old-fashioned thing you saw in Westerns?
Exactly. They looked old. They had a tongue, so they were pulled by a tongue. They had these spoked wheels, so they were spoken, and it began to show me how we access it with the tongue, the spoken wheels. And one of those wagons, two of them were deliverance wagons, Sid. One was a deliverance from deserved circumstance. In other words, God's ready to help everyone who'll come to Him in repentance.
So you're saying even if it's our fault, if we repent,
He will deliver.
I like that.
It's amazing.
He's better than most people I know.
I was excited. Then the second wagon was deliverance from criticism and the critical spirit.
Is that us criticizing others or us being criticized?
Yes. The first one is having been from having been criticized, a deliverance, and from us being critical people, we need to be delivered as well, because that causes so many other problems.
And you know, you do a masterful job of tying in what you're just shared with the wagons, with the story of Joseph.
Well, that's the essence of the understanding of this episode with these wagons, Sid, was the Lord said, I would understand the meaning of the wagons if I would study the story of Joseph's restoration with Jacob. For 22 years, Jacob believed that Joseph was dead, and he wasn't dead. He suffered 22 years unnecessarily. Now, when there was that restoration between Joseph and his brothers, he was now head of Egypt, basically, he sent back wagons to his father to prove to him he was still alive. And the Bible says there in Genesis 45, it says when Jacob heard that Joseph was alive, his heart failed him. But when he believed the words of Joseph and saw the wagon sent to return him to Egypt, it says Jacob's heart revived. First time the word revival mentioned in the whole scripture. And the very next verse it says, and Israel said, this is more than I could ever have imagined. I will now go and see my son. In a single moment in time, he went from 22 years of despair by revelation into the transformation from Jacob to Israel.
Comment on the power of word curses against a person and a believer, especially
exactly,
having a critical spirit.
Well, you know, as I was writing the book and trying to articulate this thing about criticism, I remembered a story of how they control elephants. When an elephant is a baby, they get a stake, they get a chain strong enough to hold that baby elephant. And as the elephant grows, it is built into his mind that no matter how big he gets, that little chain and that little stake, he can never get free from. And that's what happens when people curse you with a bad description or a description that makes you believe you're someone less than you really are. And that's the power of criticism. It becomes a stronghold that you need to reject and renounce and believe the things God has to say about you in the Word, Sid.
Let me go back to that analogy.
Yep.
That as that elephant grew,
yep,
he had the ability to do that. Was just like a feather, that stake.
Exactly.
I mean, as he got that big. But those word curses keep us victims.
They trap us into being a person that we never were.
It's a deception.
It's an absolute deception.
And what about a deliverance?
Well, the Bible talks about God being the God of hope. And it says, may the God of hope give you joy and peace through the power of believing the truth, Sid. And that's what we need to do. We need to realize that when we're trapped, we're not believing the truth. I had the Lord tell me this early one morning, Sid. It's so amazing. The Lord said to me, Robin, each one of my children is my own personal favorite. And I thought about that. Then He said, but very few believe it. When you begin to believe that you're God's favorite person, many of those lies begin to break off. Many of them break off because God identifies each one of us as a beloved child.
But I believe you have the authority,
yes,
to break word curses off,
yes,
of those,
sir,
that are watching this show right now.
That's what we're going to do.
Would you pray that prayer?
Yes, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I see this viewing audience, of those who have been cursed, described inaccurate, I ask by the power of the Spirit of God, oh Lord, and by the grace and the mercy that we find in Christ Jesus, we break those word curses now and we release a manifestation of the presence and the glory and the peace of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Boy, that was, it is happening now.
That was powerful. But let me ask you something. God showed you five wagons, and they all had to do with the theme, the harbinger of hope.
Yes.
What do you mean by harbinger of hope?
Well, to me, my encounter was a harbinger of hope. And a harbinger, it's a forerunner. It's something that comes before something that's just behind it. For instance, I'm actually a harbinger. My name, Robin. Robins always appear before the springtime. And right. I can promise you this. When people believe the gospel I preach, when this robin comes, when this harbinger comes and declares to them the goodness of God, when they believe that, their springtime comes too. And so my harbinger of hope was the encounter I had, because God has five amazing blessings, which are all incorporated in the gospel of Christ Jesus, that are to be released to the world in an unprecedented outpouring and harvest.
Well, God showed Robin that there are many people that are hopeless. Not only will Robin pray for people who feel hopeless to be injected with supernatural faith, but also what he sees on the horizon for our nation, you're not going to want to miss this. Be right back.
Call now and get Robin McMillan's powerful book and his exclusive three-part audio CD teaching, Harbinger of Hope, plus the Psalm 91 Prayer bookmark. This is an exclusive offer for our Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9659. Robin McMillan's powerful book and anointed three-part audio CD teaching series, Harbinger of Hope, weaves together the keys to experience a hope-filled life. Through the book and three-part audio CD teaching, Robin will share what God revealed to him on how you can receive deliverance from deserved consequences, deliverance from criticism and a critical spirit, unlimited supernatural provision, abundant hope. Understand Robin's open vision of heaven, where God revealed to him five wagons and their prophetic meaning for you. Understand a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed for generations, but is now being unveiled for us today. Be launched into divine encounters that change how you impact the world around you. Be propelled into fresh encounters with God and experience an open heaven. Become a harbinger of hope to those around you. On the audio CDs, Robin prays powerful prayers over you to break the spirit of hopelessness over your life. This audio teaching series is also available as a digital download if you order online today at sidroth.org. Plus, you will receive this Psalm 91 prayer bookmark. This prayer was the catalyst that caused Robin McMillan to have his heavenly encounter.
When the devil attacked Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, by the power of the Word of God and the power of Psalm 91, he overcame and brought redemption to the world.
By the time you finish this supernatural impartation from the book, where Robin prays for you at the end of the three CD sets, hope will be your strongest weapon.
Don't miss out on getting Robin McMillan's powerful book and his exclusive three-part audio CD teaching, Harbinger of Hope, plus the Psalm 91 prayer bookmark. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9659. Call or you can send your check to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number 9659 or log on to sidroth.org. Call or write today.
Robin, is there hope for the United States of America?
I have absolutely no doubt, as I sit here, that God has promised to pour out His Spirit in our nation in an unprecedented way. And here's why I believe that. First of all, the gospel tells us that the harvest is the end of the age. There's a harvest yet to come. The Bible also tells us in Romans chapter 11, all Israel shall be saved. That indicates another massive evangelism among the Jews. The Bible also tells us in Amos that we will have an unprecedented harvest to gather in all the Gentiles who are called by God's name in a time where there's an outpouring of the intoxicating power of the Spirit, and it must happen in the season where the Jewish people were brought back to their homeland, never to be displaced again. I believe in a harvest for the United States and an outpouring in the United States because of a number of prophetic revelations I've had and because of the very nature of God. When there's gross darkness, He will bring bright light. And I will say this too. During the Jesus movement, our nation was turned upside down. And if you look at society, if you look at the social conditions today, they are identical now as to that era where God moved mightily in our nation. He is going to move again.
You know, like most revelations, they're so profound, yet they're very simple.
Yeah.
And actually, in studying your materials and hearing you speak, I don't know why we don't understand it, but we don't.
Yeah.
Tell me about the wagon of hope.
Well, there's a Bible translation called the Wiest translation.
One of my favorites.
And Romans chapter 8 begins this way, "For we are saved in the sphere of hope."
Hmm.
Sid, the truth is, the hope of God, and God, Romans 15, 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." There is no one, if you said, "Tell me what your what verse do you know about hope?" They'd say, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Mm-hmm. I think that's ridiculous. No one can defer your hope but you. The devil can't. Mm-hmm. Circumstance can't. You have in your power to maintain hope because you were born again into a sphere of hope, and Christ, the hope of glory, lives inside us.
All right, but wait a second. There are people where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, that are watching us right now, viewing us right now, and they say, "But you don't know about my kid who is in prison for drugs.
Right.
You don't know about my wife who's having an affair with one of my best friends.
Right.
You don't know about the diagnosis I just got."
For those of you who have suffered, your children a mess, maybe your marriage is in trouble, maybe things are going on in your community and you have no answer for, let me say this to you. The Lord says, "Is there anything too hard for me?" I release to you authority to speak into every one of those situations and a grace to believe that the God of the whole earth will come to your aid and answer your question. He loves you. He knows what's going on. He's looking for people that will cooperate with Him to release that power to change those situations. Here's the thing, Sid, we all have challenges. For instance, even the great prophet Jeremiah suffered with hopelessness.
You were telling me in the dressing room before this show,
yes,
just a few lines from the book of Jeremiah, and they just literally, I believe that as you teach just a few minutes on that, it's going to inject supernatural hope into people.
Well, the first thing we need to realize is that hope is a consequence and not a cause. It's a delusion. It's the consequence of an inaccurate belief system. And so in Jeremiah 15, Jeremiah makes an accusation against the Lord. He says, "Are you like waters that fail, that streams that cease? Are you unfaithful?" And here's what the Lord says, and you find it the clearest in the Amplified translation. "Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you return and give up this mistaken tone of distrust and despair, then I will give you again a settled place of safety and quiet, and you will be my minister. And if you separate the precious from the vile, cleansing your own heart from unworthy, unwarranted suspicions concerning my faithfulness, you shall be my mouthpiece. Now listen, Sid, isn't that strong? There are pastors all over the world who have ceased to have the authority as one of God's ministers and one of God's mouthpieces because they have yielded to a mistaken tone of distrust and despair. You know what God's remedy for it was?
What?
Give it up.
That's simple.
Give it up. Disagree with it. Then he said, I will make you my mouthpiece. You will. God does not want hopeless people speaking for him, Sid. He says, if you will cleanse your own heart from unworthy, unwarranted suspicions concerning my faithfulness, you will be my mouthpiece.
And by the way, that's not just for pastors.
That's for everybody.
That's for you. That's for me. Woo. That's for everyone. I mean, when you come to your senses and realize what Robin just taught, it's a deception. And if Jeremiah, the great Jewish prophet,
that's
could be
right.
deceived, you know, no wonder. But cut it out. I heard that. I got it.
Yeah, and if you read the rest of the book of Jeremiah, he made the turn. He made the turn.
Well, and you're going to make the turn. As a matter of fact, I want you to make a turn right now. I want you to make sure that you don't just have the Jesus of religion.
Come on.
But you have the Jesus of your own personal, intimate relationship with the God of love.
Yes.
Pure love.
Yes.
Not human love. Not a love that you just is fickle, but someone that is pure, unadulterated love. Say this prayer out loud. I want it to be a new beginning
yes.
for you, that you would make a mega jump in knowing God. Say this out loud.
Dear God,
I'm a sinner.
Against you,
and you alone have I sinned. And I'm so sorry.
Yes.
I believe the blood of Jesus,
washes away my sins.
And according to your word,
I'm clean.
It feels so good to be clean.
Mm.
And now that I'm clean, Jesus, come and live inside of me.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
I make you my Lord.
I
want an experience with you. Amen. Robin, I want you to pray for an injection of supernatural hope. And I say, your hopelessness is a delusion.
Yes.
Cut it out.
Go ahead. Give it up.
Pray that.
Give it up. We release the faith and the power in the name of Jesus to give up despair, to give up delusion, and to give up hopelessness and call it what it is. It's a lie. It's not the heart of God. The mercy of God is present now to impart into you, to give you an infusion of faith, to give you an infusion of hope that will transform not just you, but your family. It has the capacity to change your region, your neighborhood, even your nation, because the power of God is not hindered because Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead and he reigns forever. Amen and amen.